National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Section, Oral History 2, Barbara Burns and Jean Dickman, Tuesday, September the 2nd, 1997, interviewing Leon Paradise. Leon, would you please spell your name for us?
It's L-E-O-N-E Paradise, P-A-R-A-D-I-S-E.
And you pronounce it?
Leon Paradise. Leon.
Leon. Leon. Yes. And would you please state your address?
707 Clyde Street, Pittsburgh, PA, 15213.
We would like very much to hear about your early life, about your grandparents. Let's start with your grandparents.
Okay. I don't mind. When I was born, three of my grandparents had already died. The only one that remained was my mother's mother, who died when I was 5 years old. And she lived in Charleston, South Carolina. And I have very few memories of her. And I'm not even sure whether the memories that I have of her are based on photographs and stories and movies, or whether I really remember her.
What was her name?
Her name was, I know it so well. Rosa Kahn Weatherhorn.
Oh, that's an Indian name, Weatherhorn. And your grandfather's name, her husband?
He was Leopold Weatherhorn, and I named for him. Leopold.
Were they born in the United States? Did they immigrate?
No, they were both born in the United States, and I think that their parents were also born in the United States.
And on your father's side?
On my father's side, both my father's parents were born in Russia, and they came here probably in the sometime in the 1890s.
And they settled?
They went directly to Sioux City, Iowa. My father was the youngest of 10, and he had some older sisters, and possibly some older brothers, who were living in Sioux City, Iowa, when my father's parents came to this country. And my father was either born in Russia, or he was about a year old, or he was born in this country, and there's some controversy. My father preferred the idea that he was born in Russia, but I suspect he may have been born in Sioux City, Iowa. Nobody really knows.
And so your grandfather came over after some of his children were already here?
I think probably, yeah, right. Probably at least five of them.
Ooh.
Yeah. My father had nephews who were older than he was. The oldest daughters in the family had children who were older than my father, who was their uncle.
Well, in those days they had big families.
They did. My father was one of 10 and my mother was one of 8.
Not like today.
Not like today.
Your parents, your father was born in Sioux City?
Yeah, yes. Or he was either born in Sioux City or he arrived there when he was about 1 year old.
And your mother?
My mother was born in Charleston, South Carolina.
How in the world did they meet?
The way they met was, my mother was, I think it's probably fair to say she was a Southern Belle. And she went to a fraternity party in Omaha, Nebraska. She had someone who was related to her family who had married my father's brother during the First World War and was living in Sioux City, Iowa. My mother went to visit her friend in Sioux City, Iowa from Omaha and met my father, who was her friend's brother, and they courted, and then my mother went back to Charleston. And my father, you know, went back to visit her, proposed, and they got married. And after they were married, in 1926, my father said, you can either live here in Sioux City, Iowa, or my father was in the construction business in Aberdeen, South Dakota, and or you can live in Aberdeen, South Dakota. My mother picked Aberdeen, South Dakota.
And that's how they wound up?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you were born there?
I was born in Sioux City, Iowa, because my mother went to what she considered to be civilization to have me. So I was born in Sioux City, Iowa, but I basically grew up in Aberdeen, South Dakota.
What's your birthday?
April 2nd,
1928. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have one brother, Herman Jr. He was named after my father.
And he lives?
He was born, brought up in Aberdeen, too, but he lives now half the year in Aberdeen, South Dakota, and half the year in McAllen, Texas. In the winter, he and my sister-in-law go to McAllen, Texas.
Tell us something about your early religious life. We'd like you to tell us of any particular maybe religious customs that you practiced when you were growing up in Sunday school.
Well, when I was little, we moved around a fair bit. And we lived off and on a lot in Aberdeen. And then we came back and lived permanently in Aberdeen when I was in fourth grade. Up until then, I don't think I had ever been to Sunday school. And my mother's family were very Reformed German Southern Jews. And I recall Christmas, but I do not recall any other Jewish holiday. When we got back to Aberdeen, there was a very small shul there, and my parents sent my brother and I to Sunday school. I was in fourth grade. I came home and I said to my father that the rabbi was a fool and I was not going to Sunday school anymore.
After one day?
And my father, who was no fool, knew the rabbi was a fool, and said, okay. And I really never had any serious religious education until really I grew up, and then I began to read a little bit here and a little bit there. But I think that my religious education is really one big hole rather than H-O-L-E. And I really didn't have any.
Well, did you celebrate any Jewish holidays?
Yes, we did. But not my mother. We went to friends' homes on the Jewish holidays, and then my family celebrated Thanksgiving. We would have friends over for Thanksgiving, but for Passover, we would go to friends' house. And we did, and there was this little shul in Aberdeen. It had a rabbi consistently, probably maybe stopped 10 or 12 years ago, which was a long time for a community of size to support a shul. And a rabbi. And I think my mother's own religious background was somewhat lacking, I mean, from a present perspective. And I don't know, my father just, I'm not quite sure. Actually, my own family, we celebrated Christmas. I think we got like tangerines and nuts in a little bag. But the holiday that we celebrated was Christmas. It was a different time.
Were there many Jewish people in that?
There were. I would estimate that when I was growing up, there were probably about 35 families.
It's hard for 35 families to support that.
Well, but they did. They absolutely did. And not infrequently, they would have very good rabbis. I mean, they did. These were people, rabbis, who came from Europe. And some of them were very fine men, but not the one I had in fourth grade.
Was it a conservative synagogue?
Oh, it was. It was the only one. Absolutely.
Because then it satisfied the Orthodox.
Sure, or it was sort of a mix. I don't really think that anybody particularly thought in terms of Orthodox, conservative, Reform. I think my family, there may have been one other family who was sort of Reform. My mother was definitely Reform, and I'm not sure my father was probably, according to present-day classifications, would be conservative, although I'm sure his family, his parents, were Orthodox.
If they came from Europe, they would have a leaning towards one of those.
Sure.
Eastern Europe, that
is. Yes, absolutely. But my mother's family had been Reformed for generations, literally generations.
Well, she was born here.
She was born here. Her mother and father were born here.
That's why.
Actually, and her grandfather was born in Charleston in 1842.
Oh, my.
So, I mean,
they really did.
Yeah, they were here. I guess that would be my great-grandfather, fought on the side of the South in the Civil War.
Really?
My brother has his sword.
Oh, I'd love to hear about that.
Uh-huh. I don't remember
the story. Do you remember this? The stories, though?
Yeah.
Now, this was the great-grandfather that fought in the Civil War?
Yeah, I think because I happen to have this, which you can have if you want it.
Oh,
but it was my... It was Levy Weatherhorn. He was a native of Charleston, born in 1842. Was identified during the War of the Confederacy with the gallant record of the German artillery. He was a member of the German riflemen at the time of secession of the state.
Isn't that great?
Yes,
right.
Oh, we'd love to have him.
It's the German, no, it's called the German Rifleman.
Oh.
And went on active duty with his commander in the winter of, I can't really read this, but you know, probably 1863. Maybe that's what it is. That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if he was married at the time.
I don't know.
Isn't that
really, well, if he was born in 1842, and this would be 1863, he was 21 years old. So I don't know the answer to that.
Mm-hmm. He may have known Jefferson Davis.
I don't know. Who knows?
What was the Jewish man?
Was there a Jewish man?
There was a Jewish man who was extremely philanthropic, and he practically supported the Confederacy. Benjamin Davis. I've been to the Reform Synagogue in Charleston.
Yes. My forebears were among the founders of that temple.
Uh-huh.
It's the Reformed Temple, which is sort of sideways to the street.
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, I don't happen to have them. I thought I had them, but I can't find them. But my kids have them. And then there are stained glass windows, which are dedicated to the, you know, they're placed there, dedicated to the memory of some Weatherhorns. I mean, and I have pictures of them, but I don't have them anymore.
Is Weatherhorn an unusual
Jewish name? I'm sure it's anglicized. I think that it was Fetahan when they came over. It was a German name, and I'm not even sure what that meant. But,
how do you spell Weatherhorn? W-E-A?
No, W-E-T-H-E-R-H-O-R-N.
Well, based on the information you gave me, I'm not going to ask you about your confirmation or bat mitzvah.
My brother was bar mitzvah.
Tell us
really?
About that. Yeah.
Was
it in Aberdeen?
It was in Aberdeen, yeah. But what's it
so
about?
He must have had some training.
He had to have.
Well, the family that was in Sioux Falls.
My father had one brother and at least two sisters there.
Did you ever celebrate any Jewish holidays with them, do you recall?
No, we never went down there. Uh-uh. Never we went down there to visit, but we never went down there for Jewish holidays.
Hmm.
I think it's fair to say that while my parents were certainly an integral part of the Jewish community, there is no question about that. And my mother belonged to Hadassah and the Ladies' Aid Society. But I would say that their primary, they were certainly Jews, and there was absolutely no question about it, and they were part of that community. But they were also very much a part of the general community. And they functioned in the general community probably at least as actively as they did in the Jewish community.
So they were very secular Jews.
Well, they weren't secular because, they were certainly, both of them were religious, each in their own way. My father had very deep feelings about being Jewish, but he was not active. I mean, I think he certainly contributed money, but I think that he was not, let's see, I think somewhere along the line he taught Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
But they were both very much a part of the general community, socially, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
And in their, you know, organizational activities, and so is my sister-in-law to this day.
You mentioned that you moved around a lot until
yes.
you were in fourth grade.
Yeah.
When you say moved around a lot,
Well, my mother's family was in Charleston, South Carolina, and we would go down until I really got, let's see, we would go down there in the winters because she didn't like the cold weather in Aberdeen. And when I was little, before I really got into school much, we would go down there in the winters. And it was also the Depression, and my father suffered economically in the Depression. And one year we lived in St. Louis, Missouri. But my father only liked Aberdeen, South Dakota. That was the only place on this earth that he ever wanted to live. And we came back there and we stayed. But I was there. I went to kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, but not the whole year. I think I probably missed most of second grade. And then third grade, I was in St. Louis. And fourth grade, we came back to Aberdeen and we just stayed there the whole time.
Did you attend school while you were in Charleston?
I went some of the time. My mother was sort of casual about this whole thing. But I missed that year. It would have been the year of second grade. I'm sure that I did not go to school more than I went to school.
And somehow or other, you learned your multiplication.
Well, I did. But that was in St. Louis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any memory?
Well,
let's go back. Mm-hmm. Whenever you, that was grade school or elementary school.
Yes.
And then you went, was there a junior high?
I went to junior high in Aberdeen, and I graduated from high school in Aberdeen.
Okay. And then where did you go?
I went to Goucher in Maryland. Yeah, Baltimore. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a big sister?
Yes. Nancy Smith from Boston.
Really? After the interview, I'll talk to you about a big sister.
Okay. Did you go to Goucher?
No, I didn't. That was my uncle's remorse that I didn't go to Goucher.
Oh, okay.
But a friend of mine did.
Yeah.
Story about it. Are there any memories that you can recall of the schools or your school experiences that you'd like to share with us?
I have practically a continuous stream of memories through all those years, and I really, to pick out one, nothing in particular. I mean, I literally dozens, hundreds of memories.
Were you active in any were you participant in any activities, like in drama club?
I was active in drama club, and mainly, my main memories are social ones, and from the time I was in seventh grade, the beginning of junior high, there was a gang, and we sort of went all the way from seventh through 12th grade together, and the gang changed a little bit here and there. But and most of my memories, I think, really revolve around those girls. And I'm still friendly with.
I was going to ask you.
Absolutely. I mean, I would not miss a high school reunion. I go to the last one we had was last September, and I was the mistress of ceremonies.
Is it a big turnout?
It was on a percentage basis, I think we had close to 50% of the graduating class, and not from people who lived in Aberdeen either. And the end of this month, one of my close friends is very sick. I'm going to go and fly out to Portland and spend about 4 days with her. Those ties are tenuous, but they are there. And the same things that drew us to one another then are still operative. I mean, it was a very special girlhood. I don't want to paint this terribly rosy picture of what, through the years, I've had various theories about what it was like as a Jew for me to grow up in that environment. And that has varied from
especially
time to time.
Especially at that time.
Yeah, I mean, I've given the matter a lot of thought. Because I think growing up there, my theory was that I'm just like everybody else, and nobody has any feeling about me because I'm Jewish. Subsequently, I did a little research on the subject, and I talked to people, and I think for a while I changed my mind. But I really, at this point, I mean, I'm sort of back to my original position. Not that there weren't anti-Semitic events, because there were. But they were really, I think, they were really minor league. They weren't minor league to me at the time because I hadn't any experience. I didn't know how to handle it. I mean,
was it directly to you sometimes?
I mean, I can remember. I mean, I have a very clear memory of what a lot of these things were. I can remember when I was in sixth grade, I had a best friend named Dorothy Allen, and this girl came from the East, Verity Voigt, from Montclair, New Jersey, and she told my best friend that Dorothy could be her best friend if she would ditch me. So Dorothy did not ditch me, but it was very shocking to me. I mean, I was nonplussed. I just did not know how to deal with this thing. And I think actually, I was sort of friendly to her. Everybody was friendly, for the most part, to everybody else. And I think I asked her over for lunch, and I think she said to me, "You're okay for a Jew." I mean, now that was, I mean, I couldn't, I really didn't know what to make of it. I didn't have any experience of dealing with it, and I just didn't know. I mean, it just flabbergasted me.
How did you know that she had told your friend?
Because I guess the only way that I could think Dorothy told me. Right. I'm sure that has to be the answer. Right. And I think Dorothy told her nuts, basically. I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Good for Dorothy.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hooray for mm-hmm. Dorothy.
But I'm not surprised.
Whether you're Jewish or...
What?
Girls, you're being an old teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Girls can be vicious.
Yes.
And
this girl, Verity Voigt, was vicious. I mean, to have done... I mean, let's assume that Dorothy was telling the truth. I think that she was. I don't think she was capable of making a story up like that. And I think she was telling the truth, and I think this girl, Verity Voigt, was not a nice person at all. I think she was vicious, and this was sixth grade. And
I think Barbara's trying to say is, do you think it was because you were Jewish or just because she didn't want you to be Dorothy's friend?
I don't know the answer.
Because this is typical of a girl.
Yeah, see, it may, yeah. But nobody else acted that way.
Well, she was
it
from
may
the East.
Well, I mean, I connected those two things, and it may be that her family was known to be anti-Semitic. I mean, there were people in Aberdeen who were known to, I mean, I knew it from my parents, but I suspect that they knew what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. And there were certain families who were known to be anti-Semitic. And this girl was affiliated, I think her grandparents were those folks. I mean, the gang that I went around with was a very mixed group, and we all hung out together, and it was, no, you know, I mean, there was no question about who we were and who palled around with whom, but it crossed religious lines, it crossed economic lines, it crossed farm-urban, you know, if you want to call everything South Dakota urban, it crossed all the lines that you could, that I could think of. I mean, it was really democratic with a small d.
I'm going to just change the subject for a moment.
Sure.
Digress. Thank you. I was thinking you were trying to find that word. You're talking about Aberdeen. What's the topography like in Aberdeen?
It is. Look at the top of this table. It is completely flat. I can tell you, even at this, I can only think of one, even like a bump in town. I mean, you can see the horizon 360 degrees from practically, I mean, you're aware of it. The town is utterly flat, and you're very aware of the sky. It's really big sky country. Probably the tallest building in town, maybe it's five stories. And it's just, what you're really aware of is the flatness and the sky.
Well, most of the houses frame or...
I mean, there were some sort of maybe brick veneer or stone veneer, but it's basically a wood. The houses are wooden.
And what kind of winters?
Very cold. Very, very cold.
Lots of snow.
Yes. I mean, it depends on the year, right. But 20, 30, 40. I mean, 40 is extreme. 40 degrees below zero is clearly extreme. But say 5, 10, 15, 20, that's ordinary. I think this is true. It's been a long time, but I think that's right.
Your poor mother coming from
she South. Really, I mean, it was
what a shock.
Yes, my father
you
said
know why she
shocked.
Why she wintered
yeah,
in
well, she was in culture shock. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think that's true. I mean, I didn't know it then, but I certainly think it now. Absolutely.
She was a courageous soul.
Yeah.
Okay, now going back to school.
Yes.
What were your teachers like? Were they strict usually, or did they not have to be because there was just built-in discipline?
Everybody, I mean, it never occurred to me. I mean, I'm not even saying that I was a good kid, but it never occurred to me to be sassy to my teacher, to do anything wrong. And I mean, we all behaved. I can remember, like, this was a bad thing a kid did. This was my chemistry partner. Oh, he cheated. He cheated. He had crib notes. And, I mean, I just could absolutely not get over it. And I was, or he would open his book during a test, and I was scared to death that he would get caught. But, I mean, that was, like, outrageous behavior. And, no, as far as I can tell, nobody ever did anything wrong.
How many were in your graduation class?
You know, I think it was about 150. It was either 150 or 250, and I'm not really sure, but I think it must have been about... But I think we got about 80 back last year, so it was probably about 150, because it was close to 50%.
That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did you get to school?
I walked.
Was it a far distance?
Well, yeah, I didn't think so. None of us thought so, but when I was in junior high, it was a mile. It was at least a mile each way, and I used to come home. Did I come home for lunch? I came home for lunch. So before you started, and then, oh, and when I was in grammar school, it was probably close to a mile. It was at least 3/4 of a mile. We would walk to school in the morning, we would walk home for lunch, and then we would walk back and walk home. And when we went to junior high, it was certainly a mile. If it was really, really cold, my mother used to give my brother and I each like a dime, and or maybe a quarter, and then we would go to this place and get a hamburger.
And so you didn't.
Yeah, but we didn't. So we wouldn't have to walk home. Really.
Were there any buses that could have taken you?
No. No. I mean, I guess I don't ever even remember even riding a bike to school. We just walked. We walked everywhere.
They probably had a wonderful time.
Sure. It never occurred to us that,
that there was another way to get there.
No. I mean, that's what you did. Nobody ever picked you up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just. I mean, I never remember ever being picked up at school, and I never remember anybody else being picked up at school. Kids who lived in the rural out in the country, they had a school bus. But I don't think they did in junior high. Not until we got to senior high.
And also in those days, it was usually just a one-car family too. So
sure.
Father took the car to right. work. The mother couldn't pick the
car. That's right. That's right. I mean, I never remember anybody getting. I never thought of it until now. No one's ever. But we dressed warmly.
What kind of community recreational facilities or activities were there during your adolescent years that you could get involved in?
Well, what we had was at the YMCA, there was sort of a recreational room, and you could sort of go down there and hang. We could kind of hang out, but what we really did, I think we danced some, and there really wasn't a lot. And then there was after school, when we were in senior high, we would go downtown and we would go to Daniel's drugstore. Like, we would go next door to the bakery and buy a sweet roll, a bear claw or something like that, go next door to Daniel's drugstore and have a Coke and sit in booths and talk.
It was fun.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was sort of fun. It was sort of boring, too. I mean, we were bored a lot. We thought we were bored. But mainly, I think, you know, a lot of people just, you know, we did that. We talked a lot. We thought we would go home and talk on the telephone. But there wasn't, I mean, let's see. I guess the boys had sports, so they would, you know, play sports.
They would play football.
Football teams. Oh, sometimes, but this was when we were little. This was not when we were, I guess so, in junior high, we would go ice skating in the winter, outside, on the river. On the river. There was a river that went.
And it would ice?
It would freeze, and then you could go ice skating there. We would ride our bikes, we would roller skate, and we would play games outside or inside. We would have parties.
Children didn't sit and watch television.
There was no television.
That's right.
I mean, I guess if we had homework, I don't seem to remember much homework. We would do homework.
You had a library?
Yeah. Yes, we had a library.
Is it a Carnegie Library?
It was a Carnegie
Library. That's interesting.
Yes, I read a lot as a kid. I used to go there. would get my books out. Every week I would take out 4 books.
Especially during the summer, you probably
No, I didn't. No, in the summer I took out a lot more, but in the winter I think I would take out 4 books. I'm not saying that I read them all, but I think that's what I did. But we talked a lot. I mean, that's what I remember. We monkeyed around. I played with my brother.
Were there any youth groups?
Any Jewish youth groups?
Yes.
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not.
No organized groups.
No, as a matter of fact, I belonged to Job's Daughters, or it's also called Rainbow Girls. I mean, I can sing Onward Christian Soldier.
The Rainbow Girls, that's the younger division of what?
It's Girls of Eastern Star.
Is that
Star.
The Masonic?
Yes, that's what it
and
is.
And they allowed you to join.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, they did.
Was your father a Mason?
I think it was my mother's idea. Somewhere we dug up a Mason. I don't know where.
Grandfather from the South.
Sure, I think it was Southern. I think that's right.
Yeah, right. They didn't have a junior league.
No, they...